Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Hebrews and chapter 1. 1981. It was February, I believe, of 1981. I was visiting in the ICU unit in Petoskey, Michigan. An old preacher. He was dying. He knew it. I said, "Preacher, if you give me one word of advice, what would it be?" Quietness of the night. He looked at me and said, "Make much of Jesus." Amen. I've never forgotten that.
Amen.
I got on my knees next to his hospital bed, and he reached his thin little hand out and placed it on my head, and he prayed for God to bless the ministry. Amen. This is a big week. America is going to get what it asks for.
Amen.
America is going to choose a direction. The vote, no matter which direction it goes, doesn't solve America's problems. But it does set our face and our feet in a definite direction. 57 million evangelicals did not vote in 2016. They will give an account to God at the Bema seat. You say, that's pretty hard. That's a fact. And we need to be pro-life, pro-family, and pro-Israel.
Right.
Don't vote against the voices that cannot be heard, those innocent little babies.
Amen.
Don't vote against protecting the traditional family unit.
Amen.
Don't vote against Israel, pulling the rug out from underneath Israel. You do that, and again, that is the core of our Judeo-Christian civilization and every Judeo-Christian civilization. Now, they're just the beginnings. There's a lot of issues. But without those, we don't have a nation anymore. You better know that. And there's no excuse. You say, "Well, I just didn't know." Listen, if you know the platforms of the parties, you are either willfully ignorant and voting against God, or you're unassumingly ignorant, and that's not an excuse. You got to know that. Not all politicians are corrupt. You know, that's not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That is an excuse. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1, though, because I want to make much of Jesus. Because no matter how it turns out on Tuesday, and I'm optimistic, but no matter how it turns out, man, I got a message for next Sunday morning. And I'm expecting God to do great things. I truly am. And I would call you this morning. At the end of the message, I'm going to say this. And in case I don't have time to emphasize it, I say it now. Tomorrow, I'm going to ask you as a New Testament born-again Christian to pray and fast for our nation. Pray and fast. Just one day. Just pray and fast and then vote on Tuesday. There are people all over America doing that right now. There are preachers all over this state praying and fasting. Some of them have been fasting since Saturday morning and asking God, just imploring, just pleading with God for righteousness to prevail. We got to have that. Take your Bibles, Hebrews 1, stand with me, please. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 and just the first several verses here this morning. By the way, title of my message this morning is quite simple, and I'll probably not come back to it. I choose Jesus. And if I choose Jesus, I am choosing righteousness and not the way of the world. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for willingly coming to this earth and taking on the robe of flesh and living victorious over sin. And God going to the cross and Jesus bleeding out for our sins and making blood atonement for for sinful mankind. Thank you for rising again on the third day in victory. God, thank you for being seated, Jesus, at the right hand of the throne of the Father and interceding on our behalf. And you know those that are yours. You know those that have been born again, the church of Jesus Christ. And God, thank you for being there as our mediator and our advocate and on our behalf, asking the Father for great things. Lord, as we get into this message this morning, I could go several different ways. So God, I ask for your leadership. And Lord Jesus, we pray that this morning you would meet with us in a mighty way. Encourage the saints of God. Lord, for that sinner, that one that isn't sure that they're born again, may they hear of Jesus this morning, their only hope, and trust you for salvation. Surely there are some listening by way of live stream that have just accidentally tuned in. It might be today, it might be someday this week, it could be a later day altogether. God, we pray they'd hear the gospel and understand that Jesus is the Savior and be gloriously born into your family. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. My hero doesn't jump tall buildings. My hero conquered the grave. Amen. My hero rose again. He destroyed man's greatest enemy, that being death. What a Savior we worship. The book of Hebrews is all about Jesus being better than all of, and it's about, listen, before I say that, it's written to New Testament Hebrew Christians that were being tempted by Judaizers to go back to their old religionity, their Old Testament religion. And the writer of Hebrews could have been Paul. I believe it was Paul, could have been Apollos. But he's encouraging these first century Jewish Christians not to go back to Old Testament religionity. That was good for a time. If you were in Sunday school, you heard all about that this morning. But now Jesus has come. And he was saying, man, don't go back to the weak and the beggarly elements of the law. We have Jesus. We have life. He is all that he ever promised to be and more. I said it already in the message. When I got born again, I had no idea how good God was and is. I had no idea. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. It was really that simple. And I got born again. And I received Jesus as my Savior. And I was adopted into the family of God. It was the best day of my life. The absolute best day of my life. And the weight of my sin and the law was lifted off of my shoulders. But I had no idea how good God is. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans and chapter 4 and verse 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. And I'm completely away from my notes, but that's okay. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. As soon as I can find it, I will read it. Romans chapter 4, the third verse, I think, is what I want. And it reads as follows. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, that's not the verse I wanted. I want the verse that says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Anybody know where that is real quick? 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4. That's it. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? After all that Jesus has done for us, how can we despise his riches, the riches of his goodness? How can we in any way despise his longsuffering, his forbearing spirit? And after all, it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. God is so good to his children. He's good to sinners. He's good to people that aren't born again because we hear of Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us, and we get born again. His goodness, he is that good. And then his mercy and his forbearance and his goodness, it's all over my life. How can you and I stray from God? How can we in any way turn our back on God? That is a foolish thing. That's a fool's errand. Go back to Hebrews again. Hebrews in chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. I recognize I preached some of these verses about 3 months ago. But God used to speak through the prophets. Now he speaks through his Son. God used to speak using Old Testament prophets of old. All right? Now, I preached about Elijah last Sunday morning. Now he speaks through his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Last days, that's the entire church age. In these last days, he has spoken unto us by his son. The word was in the beginning. Gospel of John, chapter 1. The word is Jesus, chapter 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh. What part of the Trinity was made flesh? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, by the word of God, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. So the source for the hope and the joy that we have is our Creator. He's the one that spoke it all into being. Genesis in chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God, Elohim, the Godhead, created the heavens and the earth. And they let us make man in our own image. Who's the us? Who's the our? The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The source of the good news, the source of our hope, our lifeline is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Take your Bibles, turn to Colossians and chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, that's kingdoms, principalities or powers, that's authorities. All things were created by him and for him. We read in John in chapter 1 and verse 3 that all things were created by Jesus. So here's the deal. I want to make much of Christ this morning. I'm having a hard time transitioning into Hebrews in chapter 1. All right, so the deal is Jesus is the source to our life. He is the source of all of our blessings. He is the source to everything good that has ever happened in the life of Tim Rader. It can all be traced back to Jesus Christ, my great King. Go back to Colossians again. I'd like to look at another verse there. Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. My life, when I'm right with God, when you're right with God and we got the right focus, my life is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. A man in this church told me right at the beginning of this COVID-19 thing, Pastor, don't ask us to stay away. You need to understand the church is our life. It is our life. And I know exactly what he's talking about. It's not like we gain life from these four walls, but there's something about the God-ordained New Testament church that is living and breathing. There's local New Testament assemblies. We gather together and we worship God. We lift our voices together. We pray together. We hear from the Word of God, hear preaching that is anointed from the throne of God. And then we have an altar call. There's just something about it. We gather together to support missionaries. We gather together. Together to iron sharpeneth iron. You don't get that from the internet. You don't get that live streaming. How many of you have already told me that? I've talked to people. I talk to people every week. Pastor, live streaming is great, but it's not the same. It is not the same. If you're watching by way of live stream, I encourage you to come back. I encourage you to just kind of bite the bullet and get back. If you're sick, stay away. If you're sick and you're here me and you meet with us every Sunday and Wednesday night, just take a couple days and stay away. But if you're healthy, man, come on out. What is it going to take? I said this in Sunday school. I tried to say it in Sunday school. I'll try to say it right now. A lot of us think we would die for Christ if we were called upon. We like to think that anyway. We love Jesus. And if we were called to be martyrs, wouldn't it be a privilege to die for the cause of Christ? And then yet a little virus comes along, and we're not in church for weeks and for months and months. In the first century, when persecution broke out to the New Testament church, and people were martyred for their faith in Christ, they continued to meet. They found a way. If you find a way to not meet, to stay away, I'm just saying, Man, you're treading on dangerous ground as a people of God. God bless you, hundreds of people that come out on Sunday morning here, Wednesday night, Sunday night. God bless you for your faithfulness. I see some of you, I know you fit that vulnerable group, but you're here, and God bless you. And those of you that can't be here, and it's genuine, God bless you. I have no animosity, but I'll tell you the truth. This morning, I got my clocks all messed up. Yesterday, I thought about sending out in the prayer alert, don't forget, it's a fall, you set your clocks back, don't come to church an hour early. But I kind of chuckled to myself, said, no, I want to see who doesn't come to Sunday school that will be in Sunday school tomorrow morning. Well, this morning I got here, I changed all the clocks at home, I changed all the clocks around, except for the ones that changed automatically. And I got here, and I'll tell you the truth, it was 20 to 10 and nobody was here. I'm thinking, what is going on? It was 9:45. The assistant pastors weren't even here. It was 9:53. And I was mad. I thought, what? Where's Debbie, for crying out loud? Where is everybody? And I let the cat out of the bag for Leah. Leah didn't get some of her cleaning done, so she was over cleaning out here in the school, and she was still here. And I'm thinking, she doesn't got time to go back and change. What in the world? Everybody's priorities are all wrong. Man, I was all mad. And then I happened to think, I wonder if that clock has changed, because I thought that was an automatic clock. And I went and checked my cell phone, and sure enough, it was 9:00 when I thought it was 10:00. And I was all mad. I was ready to preach this morning at 9:00. I'll tell you what, I'd have preached a message on hell like you would not have believed at 9:00 this morning. I just wasn't in the right frame of mind, not at all. But I had a whole hour to cool off, all right? So let's get back to this text here in Hebrews again. The source of all of our blessings, the source of the promise of the gospel, of course, the source of life, is Jesus Christ. Look what it says also in verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Man, by himself purged our sins. He didn't need any help. He's the Son of God. What he did on the cross, one drop of the blood that he shed was enough to cleanse 1,000 worlds like this earth of 1,000 generations of sin. It was the very blood of God that purged our sins. And then he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is the sustainer of life. Listen, if you have an emptiness in your heart, who you need is Jesus. If you're watching by way of live stream this morning, and there's an emptiness in your heart and in your soul, I'm telling you exactly who you need. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Savior that went to the cross, shed his blood, and rose again on the third day. If you call out to him, you repent of your sin, he'll save you this morning. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. It doesn't have to be a King James prayer. It doesn't have to be a bunch of fancy cliches. It's God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I know who I am, and God, I know who you are, and I know I'm a wretch, and I need Jesus as my Savior. You ask for forgiveness, repenting of your sin, and God will adopt you into his family, and you'll be born into the family of God. And after you get saved, not only is he the source of life, he is the sustainer of life. He holds it all together, it tells us in the book of Colossians. That is a wonderful truth. Also in the book of Colossians, don't turn there, chapter 2 and verses 18 and 19, we are to tenaciously exalt Jesus Christ. The preacher said, make much of Jesus. Never forgot those words. He was breathing heavy when he told me those words. I don't know that it was the last words he spoke, but they were difficult words for him to physically speak. And he said, preacher, make much of Jesus. Man, the hair stood up. Chills went up and down my spine. I knew it was my job and my responsibility as a preacher of the Word of God. I tell you this morning, we don't do a good enough job of making much of Christ. That's right. Fundamental Baptist Church and all the good things that are being done here, we got warts. And even set those warts aside and just look at the good things, we don't do a good enough job. We don't exalt Christ the way we ought to. Not in the workplace, not in the home, not in the people we rub shoulders with. I'm telling you, we're dropping the ball all too often. And I remind you that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen. And we have a job to exalt Christ. Make much of Jesus. He is the source of life. He is the sustainer of life. He is superior to the angels. I don't have time to preach all of this. Verse 5 says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. Well, none of them. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The writer of Hebrews is telling these New Testament Jewish Christians that Jesus is better than the angels. He goes on and says, Jesus is better than Moses. He says, Jesus is better than Melchizedek. He says, Jesus is better than Aaron. Jesus is better than the Old Testament sacrifices. He says, Jesus is better than the law. Why would you go back to those things? Why would you go back to the weak and the beggarly things that were just a foreshadowing of that which is to come? His name is Jesus. He has come. We are children of the promise. We that have been born again, don't go back to that religionity. Man, live and bask in the presence of God. Maybe you've been hurt somewhere along the line. Maybe somehow, some way you got a wound and you won't let it heal because you like to pick at it. And you pick at that scab all the time, and somehow that kind of makes you feel good in a martyr's kind of way. Maybe you got your nose bit just a little bit because somebody didn't say the right thing or somebody said the wrong thing. Well, God bless you. You know, Jesus died for everybody's sins. And if Jesus can forgive you, he ought to be able to forgive that person as well. And aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't strike you dead when you do let him down? And when you do commit sin as a New Testament, born again child of God. That's called the mercy of God. That's the forbearance of God. That's the grace of God. That's how we're supposed to be living. Now, we don't do a good enough job of exalting Christ. If the Lord tarries, we make it through the election. We're coming up on the season that America and the world celebrates the incarnation. Man, what a great time of year. Thanksgiving before that. I know you think I'm thinking about Thanksgiving dinner right now. Christmas dinner, New Year's dinner. But no, I'm talking about the incarnation. I'm talking about being thankful to God and all that he has done for us. And what a great God he is. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. He's sovereign. He is sovereign. No matter what happens on Tuesday, and if we don't know what's happened yet on Wednesday, no matter what happens, no matter how chaotic the world gets, Jesus is on the throne. And I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm blood-bought. I'm born again. And I'm a citizen of heaven. And I have a king. And I don't have to vote for him. He's sovereign. Amen. He is king. He is righteous. And the angels, he saith, who maketh angels, his angels and his ministers, a flame of fire. But under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That speaks to the deity of Christ. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Again, his creator. And the heavens are the works of thy hands. He's omnipotent. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. He's eternal. He's never going to change. Everything in this world wears out. It rots. It rusts. I probably said this earlier sometime this fall, but on a quiet night in the UP, if you listen closely, you can hear all those F-150 Fords rusting out there all over the landscape. Everything wears out, man. Everything is just, it's here and it's gone. He says, they shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They're not good anymore, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. He's immutable. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He didn't. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Our God is a great God. Now I want to close this message by going here. I just want to read one verse, verse 3 of chapter 2. Jesus is Savior. Savior. You see, mankind is lost. We are all wretches. We're part of a fallen, broken race. Sons and daughters of Adam. But a Savior came.
That's right.
The law restrained mankind and taught mankind and prepared their heart for Jesus. Jesus is the Redeemer. Were it not for him, there is no escape other than Christ. Look what it says in verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? He's talking about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And he simply, I'll just put this question out to you, you that are viewing, you that are listening, you here in the auditorium. Apart from Jesus, how shall we escape? Now what he's saying, this is rhetorical, what he's saying is there is no life outside of Christ. There is no escape outside of Christ. You say, well, I'm this or I'm that. I'm part of this denomination. I've done this. I've accomplished this. My name is so-and-so. None of that matters. There is no escape. You'll never escape the fires of hell apart from Jesus the Savior. He is the source of life. He is the sustainer of life. He saves, keeps, and satisfies. There's nobody like Jesus. I want to exalt him this morning. I want to make much of him. I know it was a feeble attempt. I want to somehow lift him high so that everyone will know. And remember, it was Jesus that said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he was speaking of the cross. He was talking about Mount Calvary. He was talking about Golgotha, when for 6 hours he hung on the cross. 6 hours he paid the price for my sin and it bore my sin on his body and then took it to the grave. And then 3 days later, just like he said he would do, he rose from the dead. Man, when he left and he went to heaven in the ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit, then the church was born. And he's immutable. And he's never changed. And my message for you this morning is, apart from Christ, there's no escape. There's no lifeline. Jesus said, I am the way. Definite article. I am the truth. Definite article. And I am the life. He's the source of life. If you're watching by way of live stream and you're not saved, call upon Christ in your heart the best way you know how right now. Forget all the distractions around you and say something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not worthy. I deserve to go to hell. But I heard this morning that you're the Redeemer, that you're the Savior. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and into my life. And be my Savior and take me to heaven one day. I'm trusting you alone. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you got to tell somebody about it. And you can call the church, you can call me, you can tell somebody in your family, but tell somebody you got born again.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.